first messages I ever preached right here. And I was thinking about how many things that I had learned about this since that time. And it made me very happy. It lifted me up. And I was just ecstatic. Now, it may not be ecstatic to you, but it was to me. There was so much I didn't know when I came up here. And there's so much more I don't know now. But when I came up here, I thought I was pretty well prepared. I may have thought highly of myself. Probably I did. Because I had all this education. And I was real satisfied with myself. But there were some things that I just didn't know. And this is the first message I ever preached up here. But it was so simple and so short. There were so many things about it that I didn't realize. So as I went back over this, I thought, you know, this is something to have thanksgiving about. It's really something to have thanksgiving about. To know about Jesus and his nature. And the first thing I learned after I came up here and after I'd preached it the first time, I came to a conclusion, and I still hold to it. The things that are listed in here are the personality of Jesus Christ, the personality of Almighty God. And I looked at those things and I realized how far short that I have fallen from them, of them, and how grateful I am that I understand what I know about it now. So you take preachers like Patrick and like Kenneth, like Chuck. You take preachers like that when they have something in their message that lifts you up. You know, you say, well, boy, that message Patrick preached. I mean, he let us have it. We were all sinners and bound for a devil's hell. So I'm just exaggerating. But I thank God for that. If it hadn't been preachers that had taught me that, and if we hadn't had preachers like their father, I might never have learned that. And so I sat under preachers that preached things that God knew I needed. I'm very grateful for those preachers. Very grateful for them. You mentioned Buford Moody. He's one of the finest men I've ever known. He was a real honest-to-goodness missionary Baptist. And you preached something here at your Sunday school lesson that I had never noticed before. I didn't know that the people of Egypt put the blood over their doors, over the doorposts. I didn't know any of them did that. I thought it was just Jews. It was just Israelites. So he went through this thing, and I sat through the first part of it, you know, because I already knew that, you know, but I'd say amen every once in a while. And a minute, I didn't do it just to plug you up. But all of a sudden, he went over past that, and he proved that some of those Egyptians, and I don't mean it's maybe, some of those Egyptians put the blood over the lintel of their doors, and God spared them. Here I am, 83 years old. I didn't know that. So you see, there's always things that you think you know and you don't know. But you know, I thought about that and I thought, you know, I thought God was merciful. Lord, have mercy. He's more merciful than I thought. And a lot of the things that I've learned about God here in this church, as I went over this, I just thought about it. So let me reminisce it through it. I've learned this since I came here. Some of it I already knew, but a lot of it I learned here. A growing faith must partake of Jesus Christ's nature. A growing faith must partake of Jesus Christ's nature. It isn't growing unless it does. Unless it does, it isn't growing. First, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Then faith and peace multiplied by knowledge of Him. Then a knowledge of promises to which we are called. Then belief in promises causes one to partake of Him. That's exactly the way it happens. And there Mary was sitting there. Do you know, He's the only woman I know of in the Bible that they established a memorial. He established a memorial for, and He did it. And she was the only one that believed what He taught when He came down to her house before He was arrested and crucified. He told them exactly what was going to happen to Him. Exactly, I mean precisely, the gore and everything. And then He told Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot told he was upset because he was the treasurer and he knew he wasn't going to get the money. We know about that. And so when she anointed him with this oil of spikenard that came all the way from India, that's the only place it was grown. Judas said what the rest of them said, but he added to it. He said, why was this waste of the ointment made? He said, this might have been sold for more than 200 pence and given to the poor. Jesus said, let her alone. She hath wrought a kalos work on me. Kalos is the highest form of good work. There's no higher form of good work than kalos. I'm talking about works. Now, Jesus was the highest love, of course, but kalos is the highest form of good work you can perform. And it's used there. And He said, let her alone. She hath performed a kalos work on me. And He said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You'll notice about every other year I preach that, because it's a memorial for her. She thought enough of Him to pour something that was worth 300 pence, and contrary to popular belief, they weren't a rich family. So when I went through these things, I thought, you know, if God hadn't called me to preach, I wouldn't know that. I'm very thankful for that, because I wouldn't have known that. The most precious thing in the world to me is the Word of God. There is nothing more precious. I wouldn't do anything to add to it or take away from it. And I'm very cautious when I interpret something and I'm not sure of, and I tell you of it when I preach it. Do you know, I wouldn't even be sitting here in front of you, nor would I have pastored this church for 40 years if God had not been here with me, helping me like I'm a small, helpless child, which I am. And then faith and peace are multiplied by knowledge of Him. I didn't know Jesus was God. I had been taught when I was very young that there was a Trinity, and that there was a Father, and there was a Son, and there was a Holy Spirit. There ain't a difference between them. Jesus is God. He fulfilled all three offices. He sits in heaven today as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of Gods, as my personal Savior. He sits there as my everlasting Father. He sits there as Almighty God. He sits there as my Comforter, my Counselor, and He sits there as the Prince of Peace. Now, I wouldn't have known that if He hadn't taught me. I would not have known that if He hadn't taught me. So there's lots of things I'm thankful for. Oh, I'm thankful for all my grandkids. I look forward to every Thanksgiving. I talk to my old friend, Joe Carlton. We're two peas out of a pod. We're a Landmark Missionary Baptist. I love him very much. And I talked to him just before I came over here. And I wouldn't even know Joe Carlton if God hadn't put me down there in a seminary. Some people don't need to go to the seminary. I did. Because I'm the one God meant to go. Now, a lot of them go in down there, and yeah, but I was meant to go. And so when Peter said, and what shall this man do? I don't care if anybody goes to the seminary or not. Doesn't matter one whit to me. I don't think any more or any less of them. But what I do admire in a person is when they have a deep love for the Word of God and they feel obligated to tell people the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they're people that you watch them and they grow. You get a little jealous sometimes because they grow more than you do. And God uses that as an incentive to get me to grow. And so this is what I'm really thankful of. Then a knowledge is of promises to which we are called. The night I got saved, I didn't know there was a city that went all the way from, oh, here we go. You've never heard this before, have you, that went all the way from San Diego to Memphis. I didn't know that. I didn't know all that stuff. Man, I got to, who taught me all that? God. You say, well, did you ever make any mistakes? I did, but God didn't. And when I discovered I was wrong, I just admitted it. And I think, I always admired preachers that would tell me when they were wrong. So if I admired them, why shouldn't people admire me? It's an obligation you have to people. It's not called humility. It's called the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what you're supposed to do. So this time of year, I was thinking about a Thanksgiving message, but my goodness, there's so many things in here that I'm thankful for. I couldn't possibly get to all of them. Additions to our faith is partaking of Christ's nature. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now remember what happened to Peter. Peter had a lot of confidence in himself and too much. Now that's not my judgment, that's the Lord's judgment. I just gathered that from what the Lord had to say to him and about him. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. I wouldn't have any righteousness at all. None. None whatsoever. If Jesus hadn't given me his. You say, well now, Brother McElmurray, you've added some righteousness. No, I haven't. I got the same righteousness he gave me the night I was saved. All of it. I got all of it. I didn't get part of it. I got all of it. But I needed to learn that. And I needed to understand that. And I sure do understand a whole lot more about it now than I did back then. And that's one of the things I'm very thankful for. And I thank God because I didn't have any. And I didn't really know that. All I knew was I was a sinner and I was going to hell. But I thought I was a pretty good boy, you know, because my grandparents kept telling all the people in church, Tom Mack's a good boy. Lord have mercy, they didn't know Tom Mack. But I thought, well, they're pretty smart. They'll eventually figure it out. Grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I've told you this story so many times. I'm ashamed to tell it, but I'll tell it. The greatest theology I know sitting here before you is what Grandmother McElmurray told me. Her name was Manda Athelia Osella Bray McElmurray. We called her the bad Indian from the Osage. We're part Osage. And she said, she'd look over at me while we're shelling peas, and she'd say, we'd be singing Cheer Up, My Brother. Oh, we sounded awful. And she'd say, Tom Mack, ain't Jesus wonderful? That is much more knowledge than I ever gained in any seminary, any institution, anywhere else. He is. I had no idea how wonderful he was. She was always talking about him. Talking about how he had gotten judged out of the war and how he had judge had fought and, you know, they got him through it. All the kids were in the war and they got him through it. My dad shot people off the bridge that was the first one built across the Rhine and all that. And you know, they were praying all the time and they were just happy. But I tell you what, if Uncle Judge had been killed or Dad had been killed or Uncle Jake had been killed, she'd have gone right on thinking Jesus was wonderful. Matter of fact, she'd probably think he was more wonderful because she'd know where they were. It wasn't a question of, you know, maybe they'll go to heaven. And I never heard her walk by a casket and say, well, he's in a better place. She didn't have to say it. She knew it. She knew the person. They were church members, and she was just tickled to death. And she went through it. They went through a lot of hard times in that church. And I was just a young boy, but my grandfather, Michael Murray, he loved preachers. Lord, he loved preachers. He loved preachers. And so I'd have to go out and wring the chicken's neck every Sunday because the preacher would always come to our house to eat. And I always got the leg. I didn't know what a breast tasted like. I got the legs. One leg. But that's better than nothing. Like little Jimmy Dickens said, take an old cold tater and weigh it is better than an old cold tater. But he was the kindest man I've ever known. I knew he'd wear my tail out if I didn't do what I was supposed to. Do you know he never spanked me? He didn't have to. Because I knew what was coming. He had a standard I had to live up to. And when I did something wrong, I either had to successfully hide it from him or do it right. Now, I'm very thankful for the people God gave me in my life. I'm very thankful. My dad was an adulterer. Unbeknownst to me, we thought he had gone up there and gotten married. My mother would not give him a divorce. But we think some way or other he had gotten it, so we didn't say anything. And when I went up there to see him finally, when I was old enough, I was in uniform. He introduced me down at the store as his brother. And then I learned that the other brothers and sisters didn't even know who I was. He told them I was their uncle. And so, but you know, all things work together to good for them that love God. Who taught me that? Who love his appearing? Who taught me that? Jesus. So when the time came for me to forgive him, I forgave him. And after all the things were hullabaloo up there, was over with his funeral, I didn't want to embarrass the family, so I went up there and just went by the grave, stood there for a long time and talked to him. I know he couldn't hear me, but I forgave him. Who taught me to forgive? Jesus. Man, listen, we got so much to be thankful for. I don't know why I get down sometimes when things don't go right in the church. Good Lord, he's sent me through two wars. He's had me here for 40 years. We've been through times when I just was so tired inside, I just wanted to go somewhere else. But look, it's something that I'm very thankful for. And listen, I'm going to look at every one of you. I'm thankful for every one of you. That old hard-headed Chuck, I thought there never was going to. He took me out behind the church and gave me a talking to one time over here. I've loved you, Chuck, from the first time I ever saw you. You got gumption. And I appreciate that very much. And Daryl, I saw you through some pretty hard times too, or God saw us through it. And then Kenneth almost broke his leg when Donna walked in back there, wanting to get back to her so bad. You all have a special place in my life. And I love every one of you, and it's genuine. Who taught me how to do that? God. When I came up here, I was just interested primarily in doing what God wanted me to do. And I thought, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to study. And then that'll please God. But I was miserable. Because I didn't know how to love. I do now. And I thank God for that. I just, because he's the one that taught me. Now these things are something to be thankful for. And they're thankful that have to do with how much you get to know God. The 23rd Psalm doesn't start off The Lord is my Savior, and I'm glad He is. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, until God becomes the shepherd of your life, He's not going to send you to hell just because He's your Savior. You're not going to hell. But He wants to be the shepherd of your life. Chuck's a teacher and a preacher. That's the old Granville Sharp rule that I learned at the seminary, which I'm thankful for. You need to be both a preacher and a teacher. And that's what God called preachers to do. And you need to be an evangelist. And Chuck's an evangelist. I'm an evangelist. It's that way. God equips us. Apostolos means to be equipped. Well, we're not apostles, but God equips us. That's what I'm talking about. I thank God He equipped Chuck Trusty and his brother, and He equipped Kenneth, and He equipped Robert to be a deacon. Now, I tell you what I like about this. I can run to him for advice all the time. And I don't have to heap around like I really know something, but I don't. He knows what I don't know. And solving problems is part of a pastor's job. And a personality like Christ, if he has it, God gave it to him. And it helps him to pastor a lot. Now, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Who gave me that? God. Who gave Chuck that? God. Who gave his brother that? God. Listen, God gives us these things, and sometimes we resist Him, we quench Him, and we have to grow up, and sometimes in here we get out of it, it hurts, because we've got a carnal nature. But He doesn't give up on us. He just expects us to let Him pick us up, go ahead, and see what happens. That's what I think about now at Thanksgiving. And when I was getting this other message together, I came across this, and I thought, you know, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Because this is something that everybody needs. Everybody. Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, that's past tense, I've escaped the corruption in the world. I've escaped God's condemnation. I've escaped it because God forgives it. And I confess my sins. Oh, I'm scared to say it, but Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm doing that you're doing better in me, and I'm letting Him do it, because I just don't like myself the way I am, and I don't think I ever will. But I tell you what, man, what can you say? Abba, Abba, Father. He says, verses 5 through 7, or I say in the writing this in, contain the seven characteristics of Jesus of which believers partake in proportion to the degree they believe the precious promises of God awaiting them in heaven. You don't think a pastor can tell when you grow? He can tell. You're more forgiving. You're kinder. You have the very virtues of Christ Himself. You'll never have them as good as He has in this life. But I guarantee you that these are the characteristics of Christ, and He's telling you what He's like. Promises of God them waiting them in heaven. The degree to which they believe them directs their faithfulness to Christ in His local church. So I don't have to wonder if Shirley over there, I don't have to wonder if she's a good mama. She is. I don't have to wonder if Anna Mae is a good mama. She is. What you see in the people you love the most are the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And you can be rough and tough like old Chuck back there, hard-headed as a mule. But God loves him. And there's nothing wrong with him being that way, because he's helped me. I've listened to him preach. I like what he preaches. I've learned from it. And so God uses everybody. Some people are just what they are. God doesn't expect you to change a lot. He expects you to mellow out a little, and he expects you to love people more. He says, and besides all this, add to your faith virtue. You mean the virtue I had as a boy, when I'd throw a newspaper up on the front porch for an old lady knew that she wouldn't come out for it, you know? Before I was saved, yeah, I delivered newspapers. That kind of virtue? No. This kind of virtue. The Lord would carry it up and knock on the door and give it to her. I didn't have that kind of virtue. And so this virtue that you're talking about, remember when the woman that had the disease, the blood disease, and she got up behind him and she just touched the hem of his garment? And he said, who touched my garment? Virtue has gone out of me. You want to know what pure virtue is? Your salvation and my salvation. All our salvation. So I'm grateful for his virtue. Do I have it? Not very much of it. But at least I think I have a little more than when I came up here to pastor. And I think so many preachers get retarded in their growth because they just quit growing and have their walk in the sparks of their own fire. And I'd have, so I know what I'm talking about. But, and the virtue knowledge. God was virtuous, and he gave me knowledge. He just opened up my head one day and just poured all that knowledge in there and shut it back up and sewed it shut. No, God made me study the Word. You say, well, how did he do it? I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him. I wanted to know what he had to say. I discovered that the only reason I loved him is because he first loved me. I'm so grateful that God taught me to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm so glad that God removed the big head from me and turned me into a little frightened child who follows him and who loves him and who knows that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. That's knowledge. Man, if you want to know the truth, I never paid much attention to that verse 18. They harped me to death on verses 18 and 19. And just before it, he said on verse 18, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. One day I saw that and I said, good grief. Lord, I'm sorry. You know what? It gave me a lot more confidence in him and a lot less confidence in myself. And a realization that just because you go through a seminary, that doesn't mean anything. You have to go through God's school. And he's the teacher. And I don't think God ever meant for us to have as many seminaries as we've got. I know this will cause me trouble if that thing gets out, but that's okay. I don't mind. God meant for the preachers to the pastor of the church to teach the other ones in the church. To teach them. And they sat and listened. And then when God called them to preach, if they wanted to go to school, come down and sit with the pastor and talk with him and share things with him. Learn together. The church was meant to be the teacher, not a seminary. That's something that man came up with. Now, I love the Missionary Baptist Seminary down there. They were good to me. Good to me. Served a purpose in my life. Taught me something else. God uses some things we don't think He ever will use. But I'm very thankful that God has been pushing me along in a little stream. I'm sorry it took so long to learn it, but I'm just expressing my gratitude to Him right now. And to Knowledge Temperance. That means control. Preacher needs to learn to control his temper. Chuck has done that extremely well. I've been talking to him for some time now. Hey, you really learned that lesson well, Chuck. You got a lot of control. And sometimes I'm sure you'd like to kill a half dozen people or so, but you're just nice and calm. And when you do something and talk to somebody, I'm trying to do that too now, Chuck. So you set an example for me, and I like that. And I said, Why did I lose my temper? Well, I may lose it again. But what good am I going to do people if I lose my temper? I'm just going to chew them out, let them have it, make them feel lower than a snake? No. Chuck's right. I learn from everybody. I learn from the deacon over here. We got the best deacon in the state. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love God's Word, and I'm very thankful for all these. And temperance, patience, hypomene, endurance. Jesus hung on the cross. Did He endure? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Spirit of God wrote through Jude about the faith once delivered to the saints. How many Baptist churches in this country have any idea what the faith once delivered to the saints is? You know why I know it? God taught me. He used a preacher to do it, but it was God that inspired Jude to write it. I'm telling you this because I really am grateful for all this. And when I get down and I get kind of discouraged, all this stuff I've just now told you, well, Lord have mercy. It'll pick me up again. You know, it never fails. God never fails, and He never leaves you, and He never forsakes you. So when everything seems like it's going to pot, blowing apart, nothing's going right, then you just say, well, He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And He endured. And I know a lot of preachers that have carnal natures, and they endure, and I've got one. And the patience, godliness. Now, that patience, it's euscharistoi. It means worship rightly directed. He said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Must worship me in spirit and in truth. This means worship rightly directed. We don't observe the two ordinances down here just because we want to be legalistic minded. Jesus gave us those. They're given to us. They're given to the church. And so we try to do them for that reason. Now, He says unto godliness, brotherly kindness. Do you know He's the firstborn? And do you know He said He was not ashamed to call them brethren? And do you know that Jesus Christ is my brother? He's the firstborn. He's the firstborn. But He's also my brother. And it's a brotherly kind of love. It's kind of like phileo. And a brotherly kindness, charity. Giving love, expecting nothing in return. I tell you what I'm very, very grateful for. He kept on giving me love when I didn't give him much in return. And it wasn't until God called me to preach that I really had any time for the Lord to any great degree. Oh, I went to church. I did all the stuff I was supposed to do. I did what I'd been trained and taught in missionary Baptist churches. But I didn't learn how to love people till I came up here. And I went through the seminary, and I really didn't learn very much about how to love down there. I loved the teachers. They were very beneficial. I appreciated all that. I wasn't mean or anything. But here in this church, I came face to face with giving love, knowing I would never get any in return. That's why I get so depressed sometimes. I want everybody to love me. You can't have that and serve God. It just doesn't work that way. Some people are going to not love you no matter what happens. No matter how hard you try. And you just have to pray about that. And not ask God to send fire down on them from above. He's a son of thunder. He wants to send fire on all of them. That's why he likes Colossus so much. And for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if you can do that, if you can keep on doing that, you'll never be as righteous. You'll never have as good attributes as these. These are Jesus' characteristics. But you can make an effort. And you better believe God will be right there to help you. And you can run to him every time you're tempted and ask him to bail you out of this. And he knows what bailing out means. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Now, if you think I'm going to do the back side of this, you're wrong. Because the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall inherit the earth. So we've got 5 whole minutes. And surely you be sure and tell that renegade son of yours, the other one, that you got out 5 minutes early. He stays on me about that. Oh, Chuck, you want to dismiss us?